the rebellion to have, so that we can have an understanding and get into grips with what each entity is, mandate is. We will not here only accept finding mission, we just want to understand. So just relax. I can see some colleagues are very, they are, relax. It's not that mission yet. It's not that one. That one is coming. So this one is not that one. So that's the next. We are not going to present to us. So we'll ask questions of clarity that we understand to enter. In order of our proceedings, we're supposed to be starting with them. Energy are free, but Shura has asked to present facts because they would like to be excused after they have presented because they got other engagements that they would want to deal with. So I hope colleagues will understand and we will then give them the opportunity to present facts and then they would have to leave us. So Shura, if you are ready, we will now hand over to you to present to us and then we will ask questions of clarity when we are finished with you. We will excuse you. Over to you. When before you present, you will introduce the delegation that is with you, who is from SHA that is here, so that we know, and then present. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Afrikian Kabazidele. I'm the acting CEO of SHA. And with me, I have Mr. Khulile Bokwan. Maybe if he could stand. He's the COO at the SHA. And I have with me Ms. Talita Shongwe. She's the Corporate Services Manager at the SHA. Maybe if we could move closer. Khulile, you're being asked to move closer with Talita. This is the SHRA presentation on the annual commerce plan 2014-15. The SHRA, which is the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, is a public entity, Schedule 3A, that falls under the National Agreement Segment, and it was established in terms of the Social Housing Act of 2008. Our offices are based in Johannesburg, although we operate across the country. Well, our function is to regulate the social housing sector and invest in social housing projects. And the SHRA regulation consists of social housing institutions, which are non-profit companies, and these act as landlords in terms of the Rental Housing Act. The few social housing institutions are municipal-owned entities, and they are also other delivery agents, also who develop social housing projects, and also we are to regulate housing cooperatives. What is social housing? In terms of Social Housing Act, the definition of what that means is a rental or cooperative housing option for low to medium income households at the level of scale and the form which requires institutionalized management and which is provided by social housing institutions or other delivery agents in approved projects in designated restructuring zones with the benefit of public funding as contemplated in the Act. And the target market for social housing, we're looking at residents who are earning an income between 1,500 to 7,500 rand per month. And the aim of social housing is to restructure cities through targeted investment. But the social impact is as follows: providing high quality safe housing in well situated areas, tenants to be close to job opportunities, schools, clinics, transport, and also to impacting the culture of payment of rentals. The SHRA's mandate as per the Act is to create an enabling environment for social housing, to develop and capacitate the sector in raising best practice and research. We capacitate the sector by making sure that we support the social housing institutions and building them capacity so that they manage the stock once they have the stock. But first, they must have capacity in order to be accredited. They have to be accredited before we can actually finance them in any other way. So the function of the Shura is to give that institutional capacity. We also have the regulation side where we regulate with social housing institutions and cooperatives, as I said. It also includes cooperatives and other municipal-owned entities. And in enforcement, we also ensure that we inspect these buildings that that government has invested in, and ensuring that they are well maintained. We ensure that the tenants are the tenants which are supposed to be accommodated in this social housing accommodation, as I indicated, that it is supposed to house tenants earning between 1.5 and 7,500 rand, whereby they are given that opportunity also to come closer to the cities and have access to all their amenities of life. So we basically, in regulating, we look after the stock, because the stock is not supposed to be sold, as it is just managed by the social housing institutions and continue to benefit this income bracket for many, many years. So what we do is to make sure that it is maintained, it is not sold, it is looked after, and it remains the stock of government. Short contribution to MTSF in the over 5 years is 27,000 units approved, but this is the target that we were actually given by the department. But in terms of our pipeline and the projects which we have through the pipeline or through provinces, we have a total of about 29,300 units that we could actually deliver as a SHRA. And we just mentioned that it would be important also to work closely with the nature so that our target is aligned to them, because they provide the loan funding component of our projects. Although they are not, they may not only be the only ones to provide that, because there are also other institutions, but being a government entity, we always look up to the NHSP to assist us with the loan funding of the project. For 2014-15, the focus of the SHRA is to create an enabling environment. We want to now move away from a delivery approach where we were more reactive, always waiting for big two calls for proposals per year for, you know, for submissions for proposals. And our approach is to be much more proactive, in that we should work together with provinces to build a viable pipeline which will be able to deliver the project as we indicated the target over the 5 years. 2014-15 program. This is outlining basically our program within the SHRA that we have, mainly about the social housing investment plan, where we are investing in projects and through the restructuring capital grant. We have the social institutional investment plan, where we give the sub-programs of that program. We give there grants, project feasibility grants, care accreditation grants, and capacitation grants. Basically, the grants focus at building capacity within the social housing institutions so that they can be at a level where they are able to run the project and show that the project becomes a success. Others, we capacitate them to come to the level of being accredited so that they are ready to actually start working on some projects. Now, on the regulation side is where now we do the accreditation and we take them through various processes to ensure that they are accredited to comply in order for us to be able to say we can fund them to run the project. And then as I talk to enforcement, compliance and monitoring of social housing institutions. So this also still is basically a summary of what I've just said. We want to build, in terms of our organization, we're looking at building internal capacity to be able to be much more effective in regulating the sector. Because in terms of regulation, and as we were established, we're supposed to regulate the stock of government going way back beyond the establishment of the SHRA, which was 2008. And we need to identify all the stock of government where government has invested and be able to regulate it, to ensure, because if it's not followed up, find people are selling the stock and eventually it cannot be traded. So that is the part of the work that we're supposed to do. So we need to build that capacity internally so that we can be able to regulate the sector and know where their stock is located. We would like to reduce reliance on external consultants and the building capacity internally. And in this regard, we've also built, we have a new structure which was approved by a council, whereby we try to, in order to reduce our risk in terms of the bottlenecks that are created between CEO and just CFM, because we realized that our power structure was not accommodative. And in the investment program, I've already indicated that we usually have 2 calls for proposals per year, but we're now looking at working more on the pipeline planning. And we are currently contracting on projects. That's what we are doing on Ship 4B, and we recently had a call for proposals for 5A. On the regulatory program, in order to function much more efficiently, we're looking at automating accreditation and other compliance functions. Legal enforcement framework and work on the in order for us to work on that retrospective regulation of organizations or institutions that are holding stock prior to even the establishment of the SHRA. On the institutional investment program, I've talked about supporting social housing institutions by building capacity, and we want also to support the resuscitation of the provincial steering committees, because if the provincial steering committees are effective, we're able to work together and build a stronger pipeline whereby we know that we can identify the project. So by the time the project comes through to the SHRA, they are ready for funding, and we can build this pipeline together. And then we'd like to build that research and capacity with the SHRA. The approved APP for 2014-15, SHRA target, the approved target was with 5,668. But this was for 2013, I'm sorry. The short period for 2013 was 5,429. But we achieved 2,279. One of the reasons being that the number of inadequate applications, whereby the housing institutions have been talking about the grant quantum, that it is not adequate. But another issue has been what has started around happening around the SHRA, because we could not have any drawdowns in terms of what the department indicated as what happened to the SHRA. We needed to put control environments in place. So that also affected our target. So our current kind of target for 2014-15 is 5,668 housing units. But this target also needs to be revised in terms of the variant of 230 million which we have provided to the National Housing Finance Corporation as discussed with the department. So it means that our target for this year will be 2,700 units, not 5,668 is approved in the APP. This also talks to the SHRA's original budget and operational budget on the slide, and indicating some of the issues that we've had around the SHRA. And now we've made a request for an additional budget so that we can be able to operate optimally at the SHRA. But all these other factors obviously will affect our delivery on this financial year in terms of the money that has been borrowed in each issue. That is basically what the slide is talking to, and then talking to our different plans and that. If an operational budget is increased, we were looking at the total of 82 million, but in explaining to the department, we were saying that the institutional investment plan eventually provided in terms of the definition of the it's actually provided, it comes as a component of the RCT in terms of the definition of the act. But in the past, whenever we utilized it, it was seen as an irregular expenditure, and we've been trying to explain that that's not an irregular expenditure. So if that component could also be given to us so that we can be able to compensate the sector. And then the other additional operational budget we were requesting, and basically beef up our regulations so that we can be able to do the work that I indicated we need to regulate the stock, even going back beyond the establishment of the Shura. This basically is approved and to be revised. If we're here, we're looking at our targets in terms of the revision of the APP with the amount of money that is given to the NHSC, and we did not have any targets. But if that is revised and our environment also, our request is given, we're now putting targets in terms of the institutional investment grants that would have then would be 30, the number of social housing institutions that we're looking to accredit would be 55, and then the number of total units that we would have under regulation would be 20,000. I think at the moment we're looking at regulating, we are regulating about 18,000 for housing stock. And then compliance inspections rather than the same would be 18. And this would be our quarterly targets, breaking it down into our quarterly targets. Now, the last page is an update on the Shura maladministration, which we were requested to answer to, and we submitted, we made the submission to the department, and just to update the committee about what has happened, but I believe the department maybe has updated you, but I don't know if I need to go.
No, we haven't been updated.
Oh, okay. About maladministration, this basically responded directly to the questions we presented from the National Council of Provinces, that the Shura's program started with the, what we call the Provincial Special Project, whereby the Shura was provided funds from provinces to disperse funds to the various provinces, and the money was coming, came together with the maybe I should have started by saying this approval was done at the NIMEC level, that the Shura should be given this money from provinces due to under expenditure at the provinces, and that the Shura would be able to finance the projects in the respective provinces. And the third TSP projects were to be evaluated in the same process that the Shura will assess our own projects when we have our own funding through the research and capital grant. And only once that they would have gone through that assessment program, then this project would be funded. But what has happened is it has closed coming out through all the investigations that the council undertook when this issue came to the fore. As it turns out that the meeting of the 6th of February 2013, some of the projects were presented by the management to the investment committee, and the investment committee sent them back to be assessed through our Christian ABFC. And these projects, apparently, actually they never came back and they were never presented to council. But then it turned out later on in July that these projects were funded. That's when the Shura then started doing an investigation, because there was no way that council would have known that they went ahead and still funded it. But it happened that one problem happened where NSHI had actually decided to withdraw the money from the interest account without the proper authorization, and that triggered the whole thing of investigation, which came out that these projects had actually been, the management had gone ahead and funded them despite the investment committee having told them to go back and actually assess these projects, to go through the same assessment that our projects go through. And as I indicated, the projects were never again presented to the committees, nor to council for approval, and it became evident that management proceeded to fund projects that did not meet the criteria to be funded, and some of them were even outside the restructuring zones, as they are supposed to operate in the restructuring zones, that is the money to the Shura. So the irregularities which happened, we also found that as we were doing investigation, some of the agreements, conditions were waived. by the CEO of GSM and without any provision in the contract that they could be waived in order for payment to be done. And there was no delegation of authority authorizing them to do things like this. So the action that had been taken by the SRA when it was alerted of the female administration, it immediately commissioned the forensic investigation of Shinzalba on all the TFC projects. And the CEO and the CSM were suspended on the 9th of December. And I was appointed as SECO then, and charges were leveled against, the officials concerned. And what happened is that the CEO contract was coming to an end at the end of December. Council decided to extend the contract so that we could commence the disciplinary and complete the disciplinary action, but he decided not to accept the offer. Instead, when the contract came to an end, he decided to take the SRA to the CCMA, whereby he was challenging the SRA on the grounds of creation of legitimate expectation of renewal of the contract, because he said he had appraised him earlier in the year of 2013 to say that he was performing well. So we decided not to, council decided not to extend his contract, so it was actually, they had reached the agreement. So,
questions of clarity.
انا لما تعي انا راح اسجن and you have to leave. Okay, can you guys review? Oh, انا لما تبقى ماني ما تبقى اسجن. Okay. Can you guys understand? When you answer this class, remember there are plenty more
questions. Captain, my question is a concern because if you check on the annual performance plan of 2012-2013 on paper, actually shows us that the child is my kid.
Thank you. that there is a significant number of evictions that take place for people who can't pay, and then when a person who comes into the unit is not like that, right? How do you deal with that? On the issue that got the RPO to resign, checking these units were actually built. Can we point to a building and say, this is the money that was built at the inflated cost, or the money disappeared and there's no building, there are no people staying in those units? That the PSEs, or maybe if you can just go into what the PSEs were supposed to do, and whether units have been built, are people staying there, who's actually managing them? And finally, what happens when an SHI goes under? Whilst we accept that they are they are not for profit, but that's what people say, they are not for profit and they don't manage their affairs well. In the instance where these institutions that work with at the level of the development of social housing, for example, if they go under or they're liquidated or they go bankrupt, what then becomes the involvement of Shrapnel that you got?
Because
yeah, that was my last question.
I just want to remind us that the industries are coming here to tell us their money. We must ask questions of clarity on the money. Only what they are doing will still an issue. But for now, it is what their money that we wanted to accept. I know the temptation, and I know that we've got a lot of questions. But for now, let's just deal with their money. We understand the money. So let's move forward. We know what each one is doing. All of us are going to that market has indeed grown
implementers, those that are dealing with regulation, that are dealing with the issues, where money it appears in their heads. Indeed, we would want to hear if they are efforts to get that money from those people. Not from people who were never involved, you see. So those that were technically involved, you don't go in somewhere else. A person has never seen this thing. So I think it would be proper that those that are relevant officials must answer. I must think a way of before appreciating something. The rental market is usually said to be difficult. People are not collecting what they are supposed to get. I would have to hear it percentage wise. You are making any headway in your area of work. I wanted to appreciate that indeed you manage on your own to discover that there was something wrong. I think that alone is very good that there was something wrong, but the fact that you uncovered it, I think we must appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm going to hand over to Sra to respond, but also appreciating the fact that from the questions that have been asked, there is a need that we would need to have you back here in not a so nice meeting. This one is a nice one. So we would have you back, but to respond now to the questions that have been asked, but keep in mind, let it back of mind that we will need to then have you back here as an entity to engage with you and the portfolio committee in more detail. For now, that response. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Session. I will not necessarily go in terms of sequence, and some of the questions will be responded to by my colleagues. There was a question about the withdrawal of the money that the CEO withdrew, whether he paid it back. The money was paid into projects, and as I indicated, we found that these projects were not approved by council. For there to be investment through SRA, they have to go through the investment committee. First of all, they have to take them through the quick scan to ensure that the project is viable. There are tools which are used by the SRA to show that projects are viable for funding. And then they are presented to our investment committee, which is a subcommittee of the council, to check that they have done that, and they then recommend to council. And that will then approve or not approve the project. So this process was never followed, and the money was stolen in that fashion. It was never followed because when they came to the investment committee, they were sent back because they had not followed the process of the scan. So what investment committee expected management to do was to go back and do the scans and bring back the project so that they could look at them and then be approved. Instead, that wasn't done, and then later on, it came out that the project was funded and the money went was leading to the project. So that is what we then started investigating, because some of these projects were outside the structural zones that I indicated. We were only supposed to operate within structural zones. And some of them we found that even what is in the ground is not directly translated to the money that was paid into. So there were a lot of irregularities around the project. So the action that we are taking criminally, as I said, is the investigation that is now being undertaken by the Hawks. It will be able to trace the money into people's bank accounts, if money went to bank accounts, or where it is, and be able to recover. And there was a question in terms of why was the investment manager not suspended. The decision of council was to suspend the most senior employees of the organization, as they were the ones who took the decisions in each and every matter. And this we did every time with the advice of legal advisors, because usually you find those who are higher in authority take a lot more responsibility, because they will be delegated to the lower official. And that is why even sometimes when you sentence or you give a penalty to an individual, the penalty, they could have done the same thing, but the penalty will be different in terms of what was the level of that person at the time that they took the instruction. But the charge was the same, but the level of authority was different. So, but the person was still found guilty, and I had to leave the organization in the end. But the suspension, we felt that it was not the same, because it would not work the same. But we then had to be harsh, they had to be suspended to show that we are actually taking serious action against them. So it was not that the investment manager was given a better treatment in any way. So we are actually working on that recovery plan, I can say. So we have the whole thing, as we've taken the direction. Now you could even answer.
Thank you, members of the committee. Just on the APP, the 2,249 units that were approved in 2012-2013, just after we were beginning with the year, we sort of discovered that our projects were not projects that were being approved were not necessarily projects that were ready to break ground at SHIP4A, and that would be proved by the fact that if you look at projects that were funded in 2011, 2012, some of them had not kick-started. So, in looking at the processes of the SHRAB, for that year, as the new management that came to, we decided that projects that were not ready were not supposed to have been approved. So for SHIP4A, we never approved the project. All those projects, the 2,249, where was it for me? But we are going to do with projects is that we go in, try and help them become much better for approval with the institution. We actually don't leave the institution simply because we suppose where regulators are actually at, we want to promote our delivery. That's why one of our mandates is creating an enabling environment. On reducing the units to 3,700, towards the end last year, it became clear that NHSC actually needed money, and we were called in by the department and were requested to consider giving them 230 million within our allocation of this year. As a result of drop in allocation, we cannot then be able to meet the 568. The target has been revised as a result of us giving away money to save NHSC, and that's actually what is happening within that space of the environment. From the environment perspective, the social housing investment plan says that we are given the capital fund to actually go and deliver the unit, but we are also given money to help the delivery of those units. That money is actually collapsed together. So from a planning perspective, what we are actually trying to do, we want the sector to sort of understand that the institutional investment money that is actually supposed to help projects is actually allocated as part of capital. But we are saying it is operational in nature, so it has to be separated. That's why you are actually asking for that money. It's money that has been allocated, we're not asking for new money, but it is actually sitting within those funds. On institutions actually failing, going down, getting liquidated, we've been fortunate in that there has been no institution. But Section 12 of the Act requires that in situations where the institution starts struggling, we should be very close to it, and we should try and nest the institution back up to help. There has been a situation where the institution wanted to sell stock within the private market for the purposes of it, because that stock was hijacked, and they were actually not making money out of that stock. But what we actually did, we got involved with the head of the department, we saved the stock. Instead of selling it in the private market, we were able to convince the institution to sell it to the province. What actually happened, when I say sell, we found two-thirds of the project, the debt is the debt component. So we had to pay the debt component. But the debt component was actually paid by the province, and that stock is actually sitting within the KZN province. It has been saved. on the issue of council, whether the minister is representative, the entire council is appointed by the minister, so it would sort of be representing the county. On the issue of average rate of collection, we're fortunate, I think what means that we are collecting 93% on average throughout all the institutions, but for one institution that is actually struggling with the 58, that is actually collecting it at 40%.
You still want to ask? Because the more you talk, the more you are opening channel questions. Okay, finish up now.
I just wanted to comment on the question of good question that Amanda said I've been taking. I think extra we have gone out and introduced control measures in terms of ensuring how we disperse funds to projects, and we can support that we have a better way of disbursing funds. We are no longer giving FHI money, but funds are disbursed based on expected expenditure.
Thank you very much, SSO and your team. We appreciate the presentation. We're not going to get any follow-ups. No follow-ups are running out of time. We are going to let them go. And as they go, we are going to go and charge their cases so that we meet them in November. I'm not a member. I am not asking you guys, members, to say anything now to them. No, they will honor them in November. It was just, no, I'm not a good member. Let them go. We are meeting in November. We will give you the date, and we will meet you back in November. And those questions that we have not answered, you will answer when we meet in November. Thank you very much.
I know,
but the problem is that the more you're going to ask questions, well, I'm not going to be able to go to the next presentation. I understand your presentation.
But say, when we come for interviews, you are told that you must follow the money.
We will get all that. It will come also when they present them. Remember, they are still going to come back and present their annual table report as well. So you still are going to meet them. Don't get issues. Can we have the National Home Building Administration Council to present to us? I hope they are ready.
And sustain the running fund. And I think we're going to speak more time on
said we, I know, remember, they that were rich, one of rich. This money doesn't belong to us, it belongs to the consumer. And we're going to check where the money is actually located and where the money is invested. It's not just in our bank account, it's sitting somewhere for investment, but we'll check exactly where that money is sitting. Because
it's happy to hear that. Otherwise,
I'm going
to
tell
you,
pay
them the money.
No, definitely. I know. I'm going to be asked where the money is. Yeah, so I'm accounting now. Say the money is not sitting in our bank account, in our current account. It's still on investment. But here, the letter, we're investing the money. We have made sure that we provide innovative products and services that we get the customer. We're all about the customer. That's us. We have to make sure that we spend our own operating processes and systems and process, and also make sure that we create a learning environment and build capacities within the built environment. What we do with the next generation? We enroll new homes. And I think it's important to check that. Members can understand. Only new homes. And I think the American situation has made people to think a lot, to say exactly what do you do when there are alterations or additions and so forth. We don't enroll those and we're involved, unfortunately. But in the new act that is coming before you with members, we have actually changed that to say must be involved. So you're going to see that when I talk about the new bill, that is actually included in the new bill that we're talking about. But for now, the act of that establishment is reality. We only enroll new homes. We're responsible for home builder registration, the new one, and the new one. So every year, all home builders in South Africa must only enroll within the country. And those that are outside the drone has renewed the membership. I'll tell you the numbers what we have currently. We have to do inspections. That's our core function now. We do inspections in all homes that are enrolled with us as an inspection. I'll tell you how many inspections we're doing, both non-subsidy and subsidy. We provide forensic and engineering investigations, both to subsidy and non-subsidy. We do assessments for rectification. Never mention the rectification terminology like it. But we have to do it so that we understand exactly what is the cost and how to able to go forward doing that. You might talk about rectification and remedial. It's two things. Rectification and remedial, both people do remedial as an agency based on the warranty funds that were dispersed or actually rectify the houses. We do a lot of home build training and development. I'll talk about that a lot. So we're doing that both established and unestablished home builders. We also do a lot of dispute resolution. We found that there's a lot of dispute resolution between home consumers and home builders. Especially that our people don't understand. You know, when you start building a house, do you have to have a legal binding contract? What does that mean? And we found a lot of things that the gentleman agreement. But what we've done now is we've developed a template. It's available on the website for any housing consumer to say, before you engage any housing builder, go to our website, there's a template of how the contract should look like. So that when you engage, because remember, some people can't afford lawyers. So what we've done then is to simplify the engagement between the homeowner and the housing builder. So that they are able to understand what the role and responsibility and what the remedial process will be closed. And of course, through dispute resolution, we panel out litigation and legal advice, when we'll talk more. And I think there's one area that probably from all my team, we've not been able to communicate quite well. How many builders we've been able to bring for similar processes? How many have been suspended? I'll give you the numbers of the last financial year that we've been able to do. And then we do a lot of geotech and material engineering. Geotech is more on the subsidy part. All the projects that the team has come about, before they're enrolled, we'll do a geotech investigation as a result. And assess whether this project is enrolled or not, what was it in advance. And this is one area that in the past we have never paid attention to. But now we have made sure that in the industry we are there to provide that advisory advice to provincial municipalities, department and municipalities. So this is basically our product and services. So if you want to measure us in the industry, look at this point and say, did you do not or what did not? Government, these are the committees of council, we have council, and these are all the committees. We just have another one now that has been established, which is the research and housing innovation, which is the last one. So, but from a government point of view, so all of these committees of council, they all sit on a quarterly basis, the council on a quarterly basis, and we deliberate with our business initiative. What are options of council? We have a measure.
production against different new modes. And I think it's important that members must read the act and understand. But somehow we find out that people don't understand what is the money. Where does it start with an end? Yes, of course. We're an insurance company, if you look at it. But an insurance company overall. But our issue is about dealers. That's why we're actually protecting. Not maintenance. Because sometimes people come to us for maintenance issues. And we find like, no, we can't cover it. Because we do a cement. We find no, it's about maintenance, not about defense. We actually have to make sure that we regulate the whole building. If you read our home building manual, it's very detailed. And it tells you a builder. And it's very technical. No, I'm not a builder myself. But if you're a builder, you'll know. When you register with us, you must know that manual and understand it from A to Z. Otherwise, you won't be a builder. Unfortunately, please, if you are a young, coming entrepreneur, you want to get something in the home building industry, please read that manual test. Otherwise, you won't ask us a test. That's what we do. We have to make sure that we promote ethical and safer standards in the industry. I must say, ethical. Builders have to be ethical. Otherwise, we have a problem whereby housing consumers are looking for a right. And who they go to? There's no one else. There's an HBRC that has been established by the first parliament. Otherwise, everybody can just take chances in this industry. We have to make sure, therefore, that we promote infrastructure quality in the industry of housing consumers. So all our efforts are actually in trying to make sure that the housing consumers, in all instances, they're actually protected. This is our process that we follow. I'll start the enrollment. As you can see, like, first of all, we do enrollment. So each and every house in South Africa that is new must be enrolled by HBRC. It's an act of parliament. It has to enroll. Whether we like it or not, it has to enroll. Once it's enrolled, we do inspections as an HBRC. I'll talk more about it, how to do that, what number do we have as well. Then we issue what is called an occupational certificate. And this one, there's three prongs. We issue our own certificate. The municipality will issue their own. The Department of Human Development will have to issue their own. But we're trying to now make sure that we coordinate our activities around the world. We're seeing a gap around the world. We don't talk to each other. We don't ever coordinate our activities, but I'll talk more about that. Then, the housing consumer is protected. We provide what's called a warrant card. And in the process, there is a complaint that comes. What we have to do there is make sure that between when the housing consumers require the house, the first month, what is called a snatch list, the housing consumer makes sure. And this is what people don't understand. First month, do a snack list. Where you check what is wrong, what is right. You check your plumbing, you check your electricity and everything. And the housing builder is required by law to come back and fix those. That is by law. They are required to fix those. And to make sure that in the end, in the contract, that is right between the two. That must be understood between the two. That if there's anything that picks up in the housing consumer, just do the snake list, and then the builder must come back and make sure they fix those. If not, there's consideration, we have to say that it was. Then do remedial work. I'll tell you the figures of how much was spent on remedial work. And then do recover it, do recover check. But if any builder, and we spend money in energy, we spend X amount against that house, who's the builder? Who was there? Yes, we have inspection, we agree, but there was some forensic investigation done. Then we do recover it. Then now we have basically to do that, measures to recover those amounts. Then how then do we make sure that we regulate? What regulation is that? As you see, that framework is a three-prong. It's about half the HBRC, there's a home builder, and there's a housing consumer. What we do, there has to be a registration and grading. And the grading here, when I'm starting to make it very clear, please, the grading, don't mix up between CIGB and ourselves. CIGB is more about to say, what's the value of the project? How do you move from phase one to phase nine? We are there. We're not there. Grading is about you making sure that as a consumer, before you engage any builder, you must go to a website and say, who is this home builder? What grading? Can you build a house worth 5 million? Should I engage this person or not? And that's what is what I'm trying to do. So that at least our house consumers have that information on our website, and we'll make sure that we're not going to be grading them to say, what's 1,200 each profit? So that if a house consumer, you know, before I build my house, I must go to the website and say, if I want to build a house worth so much, who do I go to? So don't go to anybody who does not even expect. A lot of training of home builders, we've done this a lot, and we'll refocus our training. I'll talk more about it by time, but at least it's not about my number anymore. It's about the impact
And I was telling the same to our inspectors to say, if you have got to send me, what are our inspectors saying? Where are the defects in the houses? Is it the foundation? Is it the wall? Is it the roof? Or any plumbing and so forth? So our sales now has been really focused to make sure that it actually makes sure that we intervene in the future. Then we provide technical and ethical standards, and we do this a lot now, sir. To not only our home builders, but also to the professional departments, including municipalities. That's the area that we're actually looking to. And then if it was by home builder, they must also rectify that. Despite the process, I'll talk about the sales, then renewal, and then we suspend the loss, sir. We suspended the loss of our home builders. And I'll give you the sense about how many were suspended in the last one. This is our structure, and we also it's approved by the minister, but it's a very high level structure. In the national, in the next year, we've got about 546 employees throughout the country who operate in the nine properties. We've got about three offices throughout the country. So with all the nine professional offices, we're offices. And we've made sure that our offices are located where our builders are, where development is happening. So this is just a high level structure that's given idea of how therefore we actually operate. Our key programs for 2014-15, we went to Treasure and we had a workshop of a few days. That's to make sure that we understand each other in terms of where the money is coming from. And by the way, Chef, we're not funded by Treasure. We're not getting any money from this cash. Not a cent. Nothing from the fifth cash. We're Treasure. Nothing from Treasure. Nothing. All we do is about providing services to the municipalities and the professional departments, and also renewal and registration. So we see the budget that we're going to talk about the forecast and so forth. So we're one of the institutions that we're going to the department and try and say, one man, no.
Therefore, nobody can actually quote or say pay back the money.
No. So we do pay back the money to our consumers. Our mandate is to make sure that consumers are protected. So our money goes back to the consumer. What I'm not showing you is where we make the money on behalf of the consumers. Not finished directly, any of the minister, anybody else. No. Our key focus area for this financial year and the CSF is to make sure that we develop the plan, the new special model. I'll talk about that. Chair, we have to make sure that we improve on it around here. Not what a business. We can't measure that on numbers. And we will sit down, Chair, say, you know what, I can achieve enrollment and then tell you that you've enrolled 40,000 houses. But how much or how long did it take after enrollment? So we have to make sure that we go back to the drawing board and say, for any new enrollment, there has to be some around time. If it's 5 working days, it has to be 5 working days. The customer must know, if I open to SBRC on Monday, by Friday, I must get an answer for SBRC. And then otherwise, I did not show that means or the other documents. So we have to make our KPIs and better. So set down to the AG. Set them further and say, how therefore can we make sure that indeed we are able to respond to that? We provide technical support to NHBRC and also the building government. Enforcement and compliance, I'll talk more about with the progress of that. Education training, check, we have to grow and sustain the RMI fund. Currently, it's standing about 4.7 billion, but it's investing somewhere, I'll tell you where it's invested. But we have to grow it and sustain it to make sure that wherever we pay for real wealth, it's well done low. Indeed, it has to pay off by us in the next country. Yes, it's a company. You know, if you are insured as your car with insurance and so forth, you know, you're going to go through a very rigorous process. So, it's also us as an investment. That we have to make sure that indeed, before we pay, we actually affirm ourselves that indeed, we have to pay the amount. We have now established a center for research and housing innovation. Yes, it's quite exciting. And I'm going to, on behalf of the minister, invite the members to go to Strangwoman at our innovation hub in Eric Murphy and see what we're going to do in there. Quite exciting, but also very innovative, and I'm sure that Chair, you're going to get an invite from the minister around the innovation conference that we have in November, where we're going to showcase what we have as a system around innovation-based technologies. But I'll talk more. Chair, if you have to measure us on this. This is our time. For registration, this is our target for new one, enrollment, on non-subsidy, late enrollment. Let me tell you, on late enrollment, this is our biggest problem. That applicants want to take shortcuts. They think that they can pass an act of talent and not want to enroll them. And we've done and made sure that indeed trying to circumvent that. Subsidy home enrollment, consolidation, project enrollment, and so on. So this is basically our target. Let me just talk about training and also term of use. If you look at our history, and Shonango is read our APP in the past, those numbers have dropped significantly. If you look at the training, it used to be about 3,000 plus. Both home builders and use. And we said, no, guys, why do you have to train this 20? Where are they today? Can you train them and say, so and so has been trained and it's got to the past year. This person is now doing 80. Right. So we said, no, let's reduce our numbers. So that from an interim point of view, but then we're able to say, this is what I've been able to do. We can go to train these people and we'll say, where are they based? Are they working or not working? We can't just change number and then look out and say, so we've trained so much number, but the impact, what is the impact on the sector? That's what we want to do. So that these numbers can therefore be able to train over a number of years along the MTSS. This one I'm going to spend more time, but it does give you an idea to say what has been the, especially the mortgage houses, the property boom, and the recession, and now how we're picking up on us. Let me tell you, we're picking up. You must read the index from ASA and the MB. Then you can see that it is new homes. It's not about resale of homes. And I'm sure what EAP is going to tell you how we're actually getting into that land. So you can see that the market is steady. So, sort of picking up. So, but quite interested and especially in this direction that at least the market is picking up. The registration check, as you can see, that if you look from May 2014 and 2015 annual projection, is that the numbers are growing. And we're very much encouraged that at least a lot of people are coming in. That means economically, South Africans are able therefore to make a living. Whether they work project or not, for us, it's not like, you know, but at least the number is growing. As you can see that 2018, we were about 50,000 since June. By 14-15, that number is going to grow slightly. You know it's going to grow. It's precisely because we've looked at where the impact is in terms of where you home builders are coming into. But then be cautious and not raise the number by now. Because we see that as we get people into the process, a number of people are actually falling behind because we are now applying what the CJ has to do. We do credit checks. Unfortunately, most of them, they don't like it, but it has to be done. Because why? If anybody comes to our website, we say this person has been checked by us. If you're a responsible human, if that builder defaults and says it's liquidated, you can come back to us and say, why did you actually put this person on our website? Whereas now you can't see the project, he's taking my money, it's liquidated. So there's a lot of crazy checks now that we are looking into, but I know it's going to come to a member of parliament and say, NHBR is nothing. Why do you have to check on my financial capabilities? But you have to do that. Otherwise, we're not doing the justice to the house of consumer. This is the first of the renewal. I'm not going to spend more time on that one. The enrollment and late enrollment and that's fair share, it's one thing that we're not to encourage. But unfortunately, it has to be done. But it comes with any penalties. And actually, when we come to you to present the bill, you're going to see what penalties now we're going to be imposing on this so that we discourage people from end of use regarding any of parliament. I think that's going to take a special time. This is one area that members of parliament you should be worried about. That we should be worried about the plans approved vis-a-vis home and roads. We go to municipalities now and say, how many plans have you approved as a municipality? Remember, we don't approve plans in any asset, but we have to make sure that as they approve the plans, they must conform to the government standards. But our interest is to say, how many houses are enrolled throughout the country, both subsidy and subsidy, and how many plans are approved? And what is the transformation? And we're trying to work out the process. We've asked the minister for a bilateral with the Minister of Corporate Governance, but we actually have to come at the end. What for us is a very concerning area, that this graph must be close. You can't have homes enrolled, the plan approved, have a distance between the two. So that's an area that we're trying to. These are the active builders, out of the numbers of 15,000, but these ones, 4,000, almost 4,000, these are very active. They've got work to do. You can check them very easily if they're doing well, here in the house. So with all those ones in our website, then we'll be able to check them in terms of their capabilities. The ratio, I'm not going to spend my time. These are the non-subsidy home enrollments, so it should be your interest in terms of non-subsidy to say, in the open market, what houses are we talking about? And you can see the graph is going up now. You can see from 2013 and on 2013, it was 44,000. 2014 is grown up. When we come to present you our health report, we'll show you now how that is grown up in terms of the last financial year. The health subsidy, again, in terms of the injection, turned out we've been able to do, check with two levels of inspection. Last financial year, on the health subsidy, we conducted 221,000 inspections. So you can imagine, 221,000 inspections that we over, how many houses? 78,000. So average, we do between 4 and 8 inspections in the house. And I'm going to talk more how then we'll achieve that. The subsidy, says to the department, use that as a resource to say, if the department says they've achieved so much, and then you say, where the problem is, what should you go and spend? So I was going to the DG PMU and said, look, we have to make sure that there's correlation between what the province and the department are saying they can be achieved. And what the national actually are saying, we've been able to go and inspect. If you look at the financial year, unfortunately, it did so. We had about 109,000 that were enrolled and inspected by the national actually. And the project enrollment is 26,000. So, all in all, in the last financial year, we looked into about almost 120,000 houses. So, what we're trying to do now is with the department is saying, what is the municipality saying? How many houses did you hear? Out of those, which one enrolled in the national actually? Let's correlate the system and make sure that if those houses are on the ground and the department needs to make sure that indeed from an accounting point of view can be able to say yes, so and so in this municipality is indeed there. And this is the data that is available from manager access. And we make sure that it's available not only to the department but also to provincial departments including municipalities. These are the inspections that we've charged on the subsidies. Over 210,000 inspections. So combined that, subsidy and non-subsidy, we've done almost about 460,000 inspections around the sector as a whole. So I'm not going to spend more time, but just to give you an idea that we've restructured ourselves, we now have what is called the Federal and Quality Assurance Unit. And the issue here is, why is there quality, why is there poor quality in the sector? And when I ask that question in terms of quality, say, yes, you are there, but why is there poor quality? What are you doing as an instructor? Why do you exist? Why do we have to make sure that indeed home runs that are happening, home runs that are happening with you? We've done analysis. It might not be scientific, but it's a fact. That the combination of inappropriate design, the engineers out there are doing disservice. First of all, when it comes to the subsidy, to the department, the design sometimes is over design. Over design is also that somebody must make money. You over-design the formation. It will cost money. It's over-designed for a simple house. Then when you look at the professional fees, the engineer will get money. So we look at those things and say, no guys, come to us. We tell you that this sort of application is saying the foundation must be A, B, C, and D. So that the consultant don't take on municipalities and our departments for life. So they have over-design. Material and methods of control. Material is a big issue. And I think as members of government consent that we've got a lot of imported material that do not conform to our standards and our systems. I'm not going to go to the cement and other things, but I know a lot of entrepreneurs went for the cement, they imported cement from China, from Asia and so forth, but that cement is not conformed to our standards. It's in our market today. What do we do? 5 years down the line, the results are going to be them. And that's a fact. So what did DCI and I've made sure that indeed we're able to control it? There's also wrong soil classification. Members of Parliament, if you go around the 9 provinces, we're all different. And I'm going to tell you that now. The issues of, for instance, dolomitic. You will see that dolomitic is only in Parliamentville. I can take this Centura now. High-level houses. No, everyone is fine. No, it's dolomitic. But I can tell you the Centura now. You go to Centura, most of the houses there, they are actually under-accessed. Now the issue is, before you build and approve those buildings by the municipality, what do you do to make sure that actually make sure that people build correctly? Otherwise, going to the disaster, who must blame government to say, why did you not foresee that 10 years, you see the tremors that happen now. Those tremors are going to happen in most part of the country. If you don't actually put those measures in place now, I can tell you that 20 years down the line, those houses are going to fall. And somebody's going to ask, where was the initial? There's been an issue of awarding contracts to non-registrars and incompetent and unprepared contractors. Who's handling the difference? If we, the registrar, you access the check and say, actually, you can build one house, and that's it. Not 500 houses, not 100 houses. Okay, our certificate is very clear. That when you come to us and assess, we said, for now, we're only qualified to build one house. And I've been to roadshows, I've met all the HODs, and I've told them to say, before you award any contracts, talk to us. Something can tell you. Contract X, this can be built. Don't be somebody 500 houses to build, and then can't even deliver now, or one, or two. Or can like out of our assessment, how many houses can you build? So if you look at such a case, there's a code there. If you ask to know the code, how many houses can you can be able to actually deliver? Quality control, we'll talk about that. The registration, but also community measures. What does it mean, Chair, we're working on that together with parties and also to Department of State. If people have been able to tell us, what do we do? If the register is asked, leave the process to others and then don't say, no, we're going to send this contractor with this, which is advantage, it's coming in. No, it's about quality. Check, it's about quality. If people pass our tests, they will never be able to deliver on what we believe is appropriate. This is the inspection model. I'm not going to take it through, Chair, but it's what we've been able to design. It doesn't have to do the inspection. It's what we've been able to sell to the market. So we understand both subsidy and non-subsidy, what is our role and responsibility. What is our role in the inspector? I'm not going to go through that. But safe to say that with board inspectors, I'm going to be the number just now. But in a nutshell, is that the NHGRC is the sole mandate, for the sole mandate to make sure that we mitigate against any racist, etc. These are the inspectors that we have across the country. And we have been reviewing these numbers. Currently, we have about 203 inspectors. These are not outsourced inspectors. I'm sure some of you have read previously what the NHGRC used to do. These are employees of NHGRC. They are paid off by NHGRC, employed full-time by NHGRC, and they are spread across the country in terms of them going out. They're not stationed in the offices. They must be out there to inspect houses, both subsidy and non-subsidy. So that's the number that we're talking about. So if you look at our budget, we'll speak about it, we'll see that our total cost has gone up almost 100%. And where is that going to? It's going to this division. That is the measure that we have established. And I'm going to say, if you go back to the record of answers, that the previous committee has sort of questions and queried us to say, why do you have to outsource your business? Why do you have to rely on outside companies to do your business? And when we go to the drawing board, it can't be. We can't rely on company X because it's about business to them. When they go and inspect the house, they can't. Whether they have this or not, another thing. So, but now, all these employees are actually employees in NHGRC on our payroll. We do training, Chair. We have a customized training program. And what I'm saying, Chair, is that if you look at the CIPA program and everything, and look at the whether you're in entities or universities and so forth, Chair, consider that there is no formal qualification called inspection or inspectorate. None. If you're an inspector, you have to be either an engineer, a QS, or a project manager. Then you can do inspection. But there is no formal qualification that you have now been qualified as an inspector to do what public works will do, what labor will do, and so forth. So what is an inspector? We step back and say, yes, therefore, grow our own program around inspection. So we've done a program, we currently build training our own, and we've extended that to the municipalities and to the process to say, and to say, if they come to present you, they must not actually say to you, we're going to be outsourcing training. If they initial lesson, we'll look at it, we're going to be providing it as a remote innovation hub. They must come in, of course, we're going to cover the cost, but what we're charging is our administration cost, but none else other than that. Our courses are very fixed. Those are the modules, and we make sure that basically we have to get the accreditation by 2015 to NQS. Was remember, if it's tender, it must be make sure that it is academic supplies. It has to be recognized. So we're working out with the various institutions, and they would believe that we had a discourse with some of the president and NGOs and everyone, and therefore everybody can say, yes, I've got a certificate now, I'm an inspector around home building environments. Our technical support will provide this to the various provinces and including municipalities, in terms of making sure that we do the assessments, but also make sure that there's correct loss quantities, but also remedial work that has to be done. So what is important is that we have to make sure that we align ourselves to the same standards, the software design standards. And I'm sure the minister is something that we're coming from to. They use standards on 10, 400. That's what does it require and what are the qualifications from the age point of view and so forth. So they see that from now on, if you as a home builder, as a consumer also, you want to submit your plans to the quality, they must conform to SEMS 10400. It's very important. It's going to cost you money, but let me tell you now, 20 years by the line, you're going to appreciate why those standards are so set up. Because of the energy issues, because of the climate issues, but we're planning for the future, just to make sure that it is. We're able to save the grid in terms of electricity, but also make sure that we conform the standards internationally and so forth. Technical support that we provide to the provinces and also to our builders, so I'm going to spend more time on that. But since then, as I said, we have now done what is called on-site assessment. And I must say, this is very important for us. We have to do things on-site. We can't do training for builders in a classroom situation. They don't have time. They can't really be obstructed from on-site and go into a building, into a classroom. So we do the hour on-site. We have also what we call now an assessment of what is happening with this facility. And we have what is called a minister's facility.
Sorry to disturb you. We are left with 10 minutes, so it's as time as that.
I'm trusting that, sister. We have now made sure that we make sure that the province and municipalities share previously on this one, so that at least we're able to account what one group. Previously, what has been the first effect is that when payment is to be done for any matter, the provinces and municipalities will do inspections. And province will only pay once their own people that say, no, fine, we're certified with the information. You can pay this percentage. Now, what the minister did was, no, it can't be that way. Because it's the other way around. The only person or authority, according to the Act of Parliament, is NHGRC. That's my thing. Before you pay, NHGRC must go and certify that indeed this has achieved according to our standard. Now, what happened is that we did not want to implement that package until we have passed it. As an example, and I told you about the number of concessions that we expect that now have. What says, no, we need a member's tax. Will you implement it or not? Then I said, no, let's go to the front. But now, the issue is, so if you take a mask off, and I've gone to the issue with all of them, and I said, in terms of implementing, you can be troubled. What if it's classified as an unauthorized or protest suspension? If someone's going to pay, then it demolish the house. Indeed. But we're saying we put our head on the block and we say, if we do indeed inspect the house and we pass it, then we can pay for all those milestones that we talk about. So we've done those roadshows to all the HODs, and I hope they understand. Now, indeed, before they sign off, they must understand that where is their approval from the next one? Not their own quality assurance. But there's a conflict there. We can't do anything in the plan and the department. Check up there with the remedial work. This is a let me just quantify the statement. It's only on land subsidy. We've not done remedial work much on the subsidy work. And that's why you must be redefined. What does rectification and remedial mean? So we've done about 95 houses in the last financial year, and the cost has actually gone down from the previous year. But this is what we've been able to do. As you can see, foundation infrastructure, drainage, and so forth, so, and the settlement, and so forth. But this is the number of houses that we've been able to do. We've got our own enforcement and compliance unit. I'm not going to spend more time on that one. Same to say, Chair, if you look at this plan, in 2013-14, we suspended 202 billion. They were suspended. They can't do that anyway, nothing, until they conform to our standards. There were actually about 328 smaller hearings. That is what resulted in those 202 being suspended. So you can see the time also, in terms of what line was imposed. But, Chair, the fine imposed, I'm going to the members of Parliament, when the bill comes before you, were actually inhibited. The act says you can only impose a fine of
imagine today, somebody who does a project, a bill of $2 million, and they do something wrong, what can we do with the charity? We find a great $1,000. What is that? Nothing. It's a pocket money. All we say is that the new place, when something presents before you, we'll give you scenarios that we're proposing to make sure that they account to that. But indeed, we've been able to do our work, and I'm quite happy, and the council is quite happy about the process that we've been able to follow now. That's the enforcement that we've been able to do. That's the process, Chair. I'm not going to go to that board, it's just going to have come and tell you in terms of the effect that has been done. But what we've done, Chair, we're not looking for an amendment next. We're doing the repeal. Because an amendment is just two sections, but it's a total repeal because the entire act has to be looked into. Because when you were responding for the trial, it was only looking at specific areas, but now the whole section has already grown. That's the process that we're following. I'm not going to spend time on that, but just to say that indeed we've done all our work. When last this matter was done, it was almost a cabinet subcommittee. We're supposed to present the cabinet subcommittee and then come from the next. Yeah, cabinet will present to the portfolio committee. But now we are actually going to have a meeting with the minister to resuscitate the process. So I'm sure it will come to you in the next financial year, not this financial year, of course. So we have established a new center called Research and Health Innovation. The center is based in Social Movement and Karim Molodi. Basically, the center does research and development. So we've done a lot of research around building in technologies and alternative technologies, the terms of methods. And so forth. So this is what the center will be doing, and these are the activities of the center, and these are the key pillars of the center. The center will be training, research and development, and medical standards, so it's like the center as a whole. So we're quite excited that we
please the center, you told this to be my center. Go to the next, please the
center. We're invited to the minister.
So go there. So otherwise you could hang out at the center.
And then the last one is that we have established a school of home brilliance at Eric Molodi. It's happening right now. We are doing a lot of training for home brilliance and also for inspections. We've done also our education and training development strategy. It's very detailed. The document is available here for people to go through it. And then these are the proposed solutions that we are seeing through the housing sector. We can be able to implement our operations, talking about those ones. I'm not going to go through those. But our budget is that, of course, we charge registration fee. We've got an annual fee, we've got manuals that we produce in the NHGRD. That's where we derive our budget from. And of course, we've done our hit of the budget and the revenue where we get it from the sustenance of enrollment, the sustenance quantum, and also consolidation. So we can see the percentage and also how we measure that, what percentage are charging the department and municipalities in terms of enrollment and also the home enrollment fee. And then the first budget, the enrollment trend in terms of the amount that we're deriving and also the revenues that we're claiming. Because we're self-sufficient, we charge for our central services, for our training, project management fees, the municipalities and also the department. And that's our summarized income statement, for budget structure in terms of what generally is required us to do. Let me just come to this one, Chair. The current investment strategy, that as we have this 4 points, or has grown now to about 4.7, that's where the money actually is invested. It's not sitting in our current account, that's where the money is in the money market, in the local bonds, also current account and local equity. And Chair, I'm happy that we've been able to conform what the federal requires, that all entities must actually invest money in government bonds. We've been able to do that, but it's got its own negativities in the sense that we're able to derive only about 5.5% of the investment as opposed to 7% to the open market. But the other thing is that let's back, and we've proposed to tell us indeed, let's invest almost 70% to the open market, money market, and 30% to the bond market. But this, we'll be able to help government to actually invest in the future. That's our story.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nyan. The last part we will interrogate it further when the entity comes back for its annual settlement plan for the North Pole. Thank you very much. I just wanted to clarify one question. Where
the department to say, let's have a focused approach on youth. Precisely because I wanted to make sure that they come to the market and to the sector. So yes, indeed, if you go to a certain client, I didn't go through the details, but we should give you the numbers in terms of how we've actually been able to categorize that one. But no, yeah. If you look at it also again, I'm sure you've been raising this question, that we've got what's called a women empowerment program for special women. We're about 20, the minister said, no, 8, another 8, so we're doing 100 now. But we do have a focus program on women and also youth. Yes.
But I use put it there.
Okay.
So that is very clear to us. It's one of the tasks that we're doing. Thank you very much for that in-depth presentation. Any questions of clarity? One, two only.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. I'm just going to ask about one question. I need a clarity. You were saying when you appoint a builder, give that builder to build one housing. So what I want to know, okay, fine, they got to build that house then. Umni years I especially like an hand to this was 3 weeks or 3 months to appoint that builder after he built that house.
What they do quality checks. When you later on you ask about the money, you understand that that's where you should come. What I'm talking about is the member of the EFF. So we try and make sure that he actually understands. So what the NCDRC is doing, it doesn't appoint builders, but that question they will answer it like when they run the store.
Thank you for presentation. My question is the absence of housing for education. If you are talking about this, because I think the current category of education is not fully under your mandate. So why are you making an assessment on going to education? And how many are you doing for assessment? Another one, Chairperson, is the one of youth. I mean, for the Chairperson, because the unemployment of youth is so high. If they are on the training, they know that they can increase the number of youth.
Thanks. I think mine was a two-part question. One is with regard to the builders. I understand that you only get the money from the builders and not the consumers. And then if there's something wrong, you then go, obviously, the builder is paid and then you go into the, they put the money in, you go to the rectify. Is it so you give the money back to the builder to go and rectify? Or how does that process, if in an instance where they are given that are picked up from the builder, who then goes back to rectify those defects? That's one thing. And secondly,
have 228 for the whole country, for the whole world, I figure we lose 94 million. To me, that number is minimum. It means that the children of the river, people need to not take by the initial reporting, but yourself, if you are going to work with the number, you are really going to create the production of the river. And then in this time when they come to check, how would like to know if you didn't of engineers, how many have you employed, how many structural engineers have you employed?
Next time, sorry, I have to answer that. Honorable Chairman, if you ask, please, no, Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think this report is encouraging and very important. We're looking forward to the engagement in the country around. But in as far as the bills that are coming, the sooner, the better. Just to check if your suspended builders updated, you have updated views that you also published once, but that would be important. Are they also allowed to come back at a final time or suspend how that is go? Because it's important that we know what is the
thank you very much,
Mr.
Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Let me just start the last one. That as soon as we suspend you or put a note against you, we would make sure that our work is and I think we've got now a specific profile or session in the website where they know you there. We click there. Say, what we're going to do is that companies are very clever. You know, they go by a company name and you don't know the data who they are. So we've got to see them. So let's work together with you and say, let's now punch the ID number of the owner of the building or of the company. Not the company. Well, what do the company say? We did it. And tomorrow we open another 50 and support. And then start operating. Now what we've done, we're going to say, let's cite the director. If you come and register, we're not the company name, but who are the directors of the company? Then we start citing those. So if you find the ID number, it's going to actually immediately raise that no, EAP has been suspended. So the suspension, we are proposing also in the new bill, when it comes before you, a certain period of time, that if you've done this, there must be penalties. It can't just be 2 months, 3 months, and so forth, but it should be a year or 2 years or so. But we see it when we bring it before the Parliament. I think that the issue of the rectification is that indeed we do remedial works. And let's define this, the concept. There's a difference between rectification and remedial. Remedial is not a warrant fund. We have to do that at the HBRC. But it's very strict. In the sense that you can do remedial, but as I said, when the insurance company, if they have an accident, the taxpayer is not going to we'll go for you. We'll pay. But the initial life will go for that building. Whether you are liquidated or not, whether you are liquidated or it's operational and so forth, we'll go and hunt you and find you. And I can show you the steps when I come back to say, what are we able to recover in that sense? The issues of the non-compliances, the special numbers, we have the number. But let me tell you that our initial target check was 400. But we said, let's call the case. Let's see what we have now. Let's see how those people are deployed, because promise to promise the number is not the same. So for two promises that are highly active, how can you watch them take and hear them? That's where our investors are. If you go to the number here, so forth, our investors are not being as they are in Okay. So what we've done, we've got a pool of investors to say, we can be able to deploy those as and when, and it's the sort of the fact. But also we've got a tender for companies to go on our roster in case we need more issues. That's what happened to them. So I can tell that number, they're not going to be big that much. And I know this is an issue to say 222 is not enough. No, it is enough for now. I think next year we'll come to you and say, no, definitely, we have increased or actually shortened the number, but indeed we'll be able to do that. Engineers, we'll do something, but we'll come to you next year. But please make sure that the engineering center of South Africa comes to you and comes. We can't have engineers accountable. They do a lot of damage to the sector, but not under our authority. They belong to the insurance country of South Africa with another authority, but unfortunately, it's another team altogether.
child defect.
She's not maintenance.
Yeah,
there's a defense.
And not
a defense and maintenance.
And not a double molestation.
About the we don't have one realize. Remember, we just regulate the industry. So everyone who comes to our sector has to be assessed by us. So what we'll do, the certificate, we'll actually say this person is able to build or not build. If it's able to build, how many houses is it able to do? Our system will tell the number, the code there. That code is only telling us that what is that. So we can build a gauge and the housing consumer to say what is that, do I engage this person or not? But indeed, we don't appoint builders, but just mentalize the effort of the regulator, but also they conform to the normal standards.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nyan. That ends the presentation from the NHPRC. Honorable members, if you have a couple of things, and hope you have two of these, as we are going to continue. And as I'm doing that, as you leave, we just want to welcome you. Thank you very much for passing by, and you, thank you very much. Okay. Oh, and then, do you want to say something?
Yes.
Michelle, you didn't answer what I've asked. Fine. You didn't appoint the building, but you said give them 1 week, I mean, to build a house. So what I was asking, to approve that person, if he can be a builder.
Oh, What happens that then when they look at the quality assurance, if this person is actually qualified to build this house. And after the defense is which one sort of I would expect they are able, they're trying. But each duration, you know, pressure, you know, depend on each duration that needs to occur. It's finally the one. Salon, lo que me es libre, no es libre, para el